Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Fourth and final hour. Darren Donnick and Chase. ESPN 102.5 The Game on this Monday afternoon. Darren McFarland here on the south side of town. Willie Donnick on the east side of town. Chase McCabe on the west side of town. Elijah Campbell back at 1824 Murfreesboro Pike. Manning things there at our Wholesale Link Game Studios powered by Rumble On. Adam Vingen from The Athletic is on the line with us. Adam, how you doing?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
You're downtown. What has downtown been like the last 4 or 5 days?
It's dead. My wife and I went for a run a few days ago. Oh, by the way, I've taken up running. We went for a run a few days ago, and we ran up Broadway. And it's eerie, man, just the sight of Broadway with no people on it. There was still some music being played, but no audience. Where I live in the Gulch area, which is usually a very happening place, there are very few people around. I don't mind it just because it's a lot more quiet, but it certainly is a bit apocalyptic feeling when I go for a walk outside and there are no cars and no people around.
Yeah. I mean, it would be cool if you could take advantage of that and just do normal routine stuff, but you can't really do anything. So it's like, that's great that nobody's around, but you don't get to take advantage of that. There's been a lot of new news on the sports front of more postponements, and it looks like the Olympics is not going to happen until 2021. That wasn't supposed to start until July 24th. It just, to me, Adam, the more and more things are pushed and pushed and pushed, and every state is just coming out, and governors and mayors are just saying, hey, stay put. Unless you need something, the essential needs, something that is deemed necessary for your household, stay in your house. The more this continues, it does make you wonder, like, what is truly realistic on the sports front of leagues coming back, when leagues would start up, and if any of those things would even happen at all. How would you answer that?
It's a tough question to answer. And within the past hour, the NHL sent out a press release with a Q&A of sorts, answering frequently asked questions about their response to the coronavirus. And it was March 15th, I believe, when the CDC made the recommendation of not holding public gatherings of more than 50 people for 8 weeks. And in the press release, the NHL said that if things seem to be improving by the day 45 of that 60-day recommendation, perhaps they would move into having discussions about opening up team facilities and allowing players to begin training for a possible resumption of the season. 45 days from March 15th, I believe, according to Google, is April 29th. And I have a hard time believing that by April 29th, things are going to be so much better that we are going to be able to start thinking about the possibility of sports returning. So, you know, I am of the mind that, you know, the NHL season specifically, and that also goes for the NBA season as well, probably, is over. I believe there's a board of governors called this afternoon in the NHL that might provide some sort of, you know, some answers regarding the finances of the league and what they think is best. But, you know, Robbie Stanley and I were talking about this on our show Smash Brothers on Friday, and I said if by Memorial Day, like, we were talking about drop-dead dates, like, if the NHL can't resume by what date, should they just cut their losses and move on? I said if the NHL can't see itself resuming by Memorial Day, they just have to end it. And as things continue to get worse around the world, I just have a hard time believing that we're going to be seeing professional sports again this season.
Yeah. The Predators did make a move today. They inked Connor Ingram, their goaltender, to a new 3-year contract. What did you make of that deal?
I like it because Connor Ingram has been sensational, or was sensational, in the American Hockey League this year for the Milwaukee Admirals. He was an AHL All-Star, you know, one of the best goaltenders in the league in terms of goals against average and save percentage. The AHL does not have the breadth of statistics that the NHL does, but you know, he and Troy Grosnick helped the Admirals allow the fewest goals in the league, if I'm not mistaken. And Ingram certainly has made a case to be maybe the next man up in the Predators' goaltending rotation when Pekka retires. So I like the deal. It looks like it's a two-way deal through the first 2 years and a one-way deal in the third year. You know, not a very big cap hit in the at the NHL level, so it won't cost them much. But I like it. I really like what I've seen from Connor Ingram. I went to Milwaukee in February and spoke with him. Seems to be doing really well here in the organization after a falling out of sorts with the Tampa Bay Lightning. So all in all, I think it was a really solid signing by David Poile.
Adam Vingan is with us from The Athletic. Adam, you went back and forth again in the whole Roman Josi for Norris argument, and it's interesting, just all of what, in context of all what we're talking about here, as the timetable continues to look like it's going to get further and further pushed back, you wonder how they're going to resume any kind of regular season play. They'd be fortunate to do that for sure. So the reality is, you could, in theory, vote for the player awards right now because it's based on the regular season. So The Athletic actually did that, and Roman Josi won the award for the Norris, and he won it actually pretty easily. But, Adam, as you and I have talked about first, before we get into sort of your debate that you had, you pointed this out to me, and I hadn't thought of it this way. The Athletic is more comprised of writers that are a little bit more on the younger side, more apt to be up on the fancy stats, the analytics that would point more towards Roman Josi, and it may not be a true indication of what the vote would be like for an actual Norris Trophy voter among all of the writers. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, The Athletic, you know, represents only a portion of the voters who, you know, which is the Professional Hockey Writers Association. So, you know, certainly Roman Josi winning the Norris by a convincing margin in our vote that we published today, you know, it would be a good sign for him. But I also wonder if the pausing of the season actually might work against him, in the sense that I think if he were to have a great stretch run and help carry the Predators into the playoffs, I think that would have cemented him in the eyes of voters, even those who may be not as statistically inclined as I am. But I'm wondering if, because the season looks to be over or could be over, that actually might work in John Carlson's favor, because people will see, despite the fact that John Carlson was nowhere near as dynamic in the second half of the season, that he finished with 75 points, was on pace for 89 points. A defenseman in the NHL hasn't had at least 89 points in, I believe, 20 years or around there, or actually be close to 30 years. I think it was the 1993-94 season. So I'm wondering if the older sect of voters might actually flock more towards Carlson because Josi did not have the opportunity to carry the Predators into the postseason down the stretch. But in my personal opinion, as you know, Willie, and as people who follow me know, I think Roman Josi has wrapped up this award, in my opinion. I believe he is a more complete defenseman than John Carlson. And I believe the fact that he was able to carry this team, despite the fact that so many of his teammates who make similar salaries, at least similar salaries to what he'll be making next year, underperformed, the fact that he's their leading scorer and has basically put the team on his back for the majority of the season. It sounds like a Hart Trophy argument versus a Norris Trophy argument, but I believe that you should take that into consideration if you're voting for the Norris this year.
So if you're not familiar, The Athletic, and we're going to give Adam a chance to throw this out there. There's a chance for a free trial here if you don't already subscribe. But there are 41 writers that cover the NHL for The Athletic. And of those 41 writers in the Norris Trophy vote, 63% voted for Roman Josi and only 24% voted for John Carlson. But that being said,
I believe it was 26, Adam, 26 for Josi and 10 for Carlson, I believe was the actual number. In terms of the actual number of people who voted.
Gotcha. Okay, so But yeah. let's take it to what you were talking about before, though. These, again, are writers that tend to be more apt on the layered statistics. But explain what you explained to me when we were actually up in Toronto discussing this about sort of the old school voters who might just be apt to look more at the points and, hey, the Capitals are having a great year, so let's reward the guy on the best. Because there's still a lot of voting along those lines, isn't there?
There is. And oftentimes with the Norris Trophy, it is awarded to either the leading scorer or second leading scorer among defensemen. I believe it is 8 of the past 10 Norris Trophy winners have finished the season either first or second in scoring. And actually, first in scoring among defensemen is John Carlson, and second is Roman Josi. So that will continue. But oftentimes, when you look at points, you disregard the other aspects of what makes a defenseman Norris Trophy worthy. And I believe in the description of the award, you know, it talks about the all-around ability. And no one would deny that John Carlson, especially in the first half of the season, was playing incredibly on the offensive end. But if you look deeper into some of the defensive statistics, the Capitals actually fared worse with him on the ice defensively than when he was on the ice versus Roman Josi, who improved the Predators when he was on the ice versus when he was off the ice. Those are those relative statistics that we like to use. And my argument, when you look past the points, and Willie, you know this, and Darren and Chase, you know this too. When you look at Roman Josi's ability to drive play, you know, there is no better defenseman in this league than Roman Josi in that regard. The amount of time he has the puck on his stick per game, there's only one defenseman in the NHL, Thomas Chabot. Actually, one player in the NHL, Thomas Chabot of the Ottawa Senators, who has the puck on his stick at more per game than Roman Josi this season. And in terms of transition, in terms of end-to-end rushes, taking the puck from the defensive zone into the offensive zone, you know, Roman Josi's peers in that category are people like Connor McDavid, you know, who's a perennial MVP candidate. So, yes, Roman does not have as many points as John Carlson, but in terms of how he affects the game and impacts the Predators' ability to generate offense, there is no player, there is definitely no defenseman, and arguably no player in the league who has a greater influence on that than Roman.
Well, Adam, Chabot only has the puck on the stick just as much as Josi because he plays 48 minutes a game.
Yes.
That's the only reason why.
That is true.
Yeah, I'm not sure he leaves the ice for Ottawa. They don't have much. The Senators don't have much.
No, they do not, except two players with coronavirus, but hopefully they're okay.
Yeah, that's true.
Adam, you went back and forth with Tariq El-Bashir, who is your compadre that covers the Capitals for The Athletic.
Yeah,
it seemed to me, I read his argument, it's a good argument, but I even wonder down deep, does he seemed to be, how should I say this, he seemed to be sort of conceding some of your points that you were making about Josi and saying, you know what, I can't really argue with that.
No, well, maybe I'm just really great at arguing. Maybe
you should have won the debate class.
Yeah. Well, I was in the model, not, was it Model UN, it was... What was the mock trial or whatever it was? I did that for a little bit in middle school and high school, so maybe it came from there. But I understand Tarek's argument. It's just that when you look at, you know, Tarek's primary argument was when you look at John Carlson's season offensively in the context of some of the greatest offensive seasons by a defenseman in league history, you know, you can argue, you know, that, you know, Carlson deserves the award. But I just kept going back to what we were talking about, that it's easy and it certainly is tempting to anoint John Carlson as the Norris Trophy winner just based on his points or his projected points, his pace. But to be a good defenseman in the NHL, to be an elite defenseman in the NHL, you have to do more than be able to put up points. And Roman Josi, I feel like, has shown, especially over the past couple of years, and I think specifically this season, that yes, he is capable of putting up points, but he is not a liability on the defensive end. That is not to say that John Carlson is a liability on the defensive end, but his defensive statistics are not as spectacular as Roman's. So I would have a very hard time, and you know, I do my best to be objective, you know, when it comes to watching the Predators and voting for them in awards, but I would have a really hard time comprehending anyone other than Roman Josi winning the Norris Trophy this year. I mean, there could be an argument to be made that Carlson doesn't even deserve to be the second you know, leading candidate. You could make an argument for Alex Pietrangelo of the St. Louis Blues, for example, as potentially the second best candidate. But it's probably going to end up being Roman Josi and John Carlson 1-2 somehow.
We're talking to Adam Vingan of The Athletic. And Adam, as we have this pause, you know, we see David Poile, you brought up the Connor Ingram signing, and they've signed a couple of collegiate free agents and things like that. Do you think that this changes his way of thinking when it comes to some unrestricted free agents and Craig Smith or Mikhail Granlund? Does it change at all for him, or do you think it has any effect?
That's a really good question, Chase, and I have been recently thinking about that myself, because I imagine there are going to be teams in similar positions to the Predators. You know, a team that's currently on the playoff bubble, you know, whether they're right in, you know, whether they're in or they're out, there are going to be teams that take cover, that use this pausing of the season to take cover and say, well, we couldn't truly evaluate how things were going because the season ended before, you know, we could make the playoffs, or we could get to the playoffs or attempt to reach the playoffs, whatever you want to say. And I think there are definitely going to be teams. I mean, like, look, for example, my colleague at The Athletic, Scott Powers, who covers the Chicago Blackhawks, recently reported that Stan Bowman's going to be returning and Jeremy Colleton is going to be returning. If the Blackhawks would have missed the playoffs, which it looked like they were going to, would Stan Bowman and Jeremy Colleton still have jobs? I mean, it's hard to say. So I'm hoping that David Poile is not going to allow that type of thinking to seep into how he addresses this team in the offseason, because even though the team had performed better under John Hines in terms of its record, it was in a playoff spot when the season was suspended. There are we do have 70 games of sample, and there are a lot of players who did not live up to their potential this season.
How do you think this is, by the way, Adam? What if they don't? What if this is it? And this is they try and they just cannot come back, and that was it. That last game in Montreal, and the season is going to close for this year. How do you think that will also affect, with all the money lost with organizations, how do you think that will affect the free agents in the offseason? Do you think that is going to drive prices way down?
Yeah, it will certainly affect the salary cap.
Right.
You know, the salary cap won't be as high, and that may cause some difficult decisions for the Predators or any team. But, you know, to Chase's point, you know, regardless of what the cap is, and you know, that's ultimately what David Poile has to work with, I'm hoping that he still takes the long view with this group, looks at the season that they had, whether or not it ends after 69 games or not, and decide what's best for this team moving forward. Because if the Predators would have played an 82-game season and missed the playoffs, remember, David Poile decided to keep the band together, as he said, at the trade deadline. If the Predators play 82 games and miss the playoffs, there's no way he can sell that again. And you would have to imagine there would be even more significant changes this offseason. But now, perhaps he has a more tempered look at things because there are so many unknowns. I'm just hoping, for his sake and the team's future, that he avoids that line of thinking and continues to really analyze this team's long-term prospects.
Last one for me along those lines. John Hines, we know, is on a multi-year contract. I read your piece in The Athletic about how things have looked defensively for this team since he took over. So we know he's going to be back if this is, in fact, the end of the season. But how would you evaluate the rest of the coaching staff and what that might look like?
Yeah, that's a good question, too, just because they were sort of auditioning for their jobs in a way. Well, you know, particularly Dan Muse and Dan Lambert. You know, Rob Scuderi came on as an interim assistant coach, and I wonder if he stays on in a more permanent role. But oftentimes when a new coach comes in, he likes to have his guys behind the bench with him. And when you look at the special teams this year, they've continued to struggle. I mean, Dan Lambert was brought in to fix the power play, and for all intents and purposes, it has not worked out in such a way. I wonder if John Hines decides to move in a different direction that way. You also wonder about maybe some of the coaches you don't see on the bench, like Ben Vanderklok, for example, you know, the goaltending coach. You know, UC Saros has been one of the best goaltenders in the league since the coaching change, but we've seen what's happened with Pecorine. I mean, how much responsibility, you know, ultimately does Ben take for that? So I do think that there might be some changes on the bench just because John Hines will be entering his first full season as coach and might want more of his guys behind the bench than what he inherited when he replaced Peter Laviolette.
Adam, I feel like we're out of good questions, so we must end this.
I do have one more, and I, at the risk of dropping from the level of great question that, Chase just had back-to-back, I know, Adam, you also went back through a lot of numbers because, hey, we all have a lot of time on our hands, but you did a series of analysis comparing the patch of games, and now you have a decent sample size of games since John Hines took over as opposed to what happened before this season under Peter Laviolette. What is it as simple as to say that because UC Saros started playing so well that was the biggest difference in Hines versus Laviolette? Or what did you find when you dove back through everything?
Well, I do think that goaltending has played a significant role. When the Predators fired Peter Laviolette, they had the third worst overall save percentage in the NHL. And there is a correlation between a coach's job security and goaltending in the NHL. You even look at some of the other firings that happened this season, including John Hines when he was fired in New Jersey, and Pete DeBoer, and even Gerard Gallant, I believe, as well. Bad goaltending gets coaches fired. UC Saros has been one of the best goaltenders in the NHL since the coaching change. There's only one goaltender in the league who has saved more goals above expectation in all situations than UC Saros since the coaching change, and that's Connor Hellebuck, who I believe should win the Vezina Trophy and might even get some Hart Trophy consideration for how well he played this year for the Winnipeg Jets. I was surprised to see that in terms of defense, in terms of the defense and the slot area, that the Predators had regressed slightly under John Hines, because the eye test seemed to me that they were better in that area. But the numbers,
I would agree. I thought the eye test would say it was quite a bit better, but that was interesting to me as I read your stuff.
That was the most interesting thing to me, was I was expecting a significant improvement in the Predators' defense from the slot under John Hines, but it took a slight dip. And the offense, I think, is probably the most glaring deficiency between the two. The Predators averaging about 2.5 goals per game under Hines, which was 25th in the league. And in terms of even strength goals, they were even worse than that on a per 60-minute basis. So I know it sounds like an oversimplification to say that the reason why the Predators' record was improved under John Hines was simply because of goaltending, but it honestly appears to be the case. I mean, there are other things in play, obviously, but goaltending masks a lot of deficiencies, and UC Saros particularly has been outstanding in the past 6 weeks. And I do think that, more than any other player on the team, he is responsible for this team's improvement before the season was paused.
Adam, we appreciate it. Good stuff as always, and I'm sure we'll talk soon.
All right, guys, stay safe. Talk to you soon.
Hey, Adam.
Adam Vinken from The Athletic, the latest article, Roman Josi versus John Carlson, who deserves the Norris Trophy, and they discuss it in that piece. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.